Hello, everybody. Hello, respective viewers. It's George from Ireland. So thank you so much for coming back to my channel, commenting on Ukraine's invasion of Russia. I don't often say the words that way around. It's been going on for a week now. And so it blindsided a lot of people. Well, they should have listened to me, someone with no military experience whatsoever. I've for a long time been saying they do this, but I thought they would do it sort of further southeast. So nearer to Donetsk and so on, but I suppose it's more heavily defended. Maybe they know what they're doing slightly better than I do. I thought to outflank some of those Russian troops there, to cut off their resupply of munitions, fuel, everything else, even food, oblige them to retreat, or at least, you know, them to then counterattack the Ukrainians who are in Russia, at least take the pressure off the Ukrainian front line for a while. But they did something even more unexpected, attacking in a very quiet sector near Sumy, well, that's in Ukraine, and is said to have seized over 1,000 square kilometers. So that's far more land that than Russia seized in about 2 years. Because, okay, for the first 3 months or so of the war, Russia's going forward. In fact, the first day, they seized quite a lot, and then it goes slow down constantly. And obviously, it's far more land that Russia's lost this week, the Ukraine was able to regain in that costly Ukrainian summer counteroffensive last year. People say, well, there is going to be no Ukrainian offensive this year. And I thought there wouldn't either. Well, there hasn't been in Ukraine. It's been in Russia. So it's a gamble, but it shows that they are committed because they sent some of the most highly trained, motivated, and best equipped units, some of their Western donated tanks in there, which they've got permission to do. But they're not allowed to use Storm Shadows, those Franco-British missiles apparently there, which is imbecilic of Sir Keir Starmer and maybe President Macron as well. Do you want them to win or not? Okay, you can give this permission. It's not going to cause a third world war. It's not going to escalate it any more than it is already. Every single thing that Western countries have donated to Ukraine, instead of being escalatory, which is nonsense, is Russia invading every day. They're escalating by continuing it. They're escalating by committing murder in Western countries and so forth. We now know, for example, that Vadim Kraskov, that guy who said that by the FSB, as Russia now says, to murder someone on the streets of Berlin. But back to this story. So partly, yes, is rubbing Putin's nose in it, but to compel him to withdraw forces from Ukraine. And that will bring the Russian counteroffensive, so the Russian offensive in Ukraine to a standstill in certain sectors, because the rest of Russia is almost bare of troops, which are scraping prisons to try and find people, pressurizing or duping people who were foreign workers in Russia or people from Nepal, India, elsewhere, into signing these contracts and then just not paying them and so on. So there's a real manpower shortage. I know Ukraine suffers from it as well. But then because Russia relies on having loads of manpower, just sheer weight of numbers tells, and just throwing troops at the problem and these meat attacks, frittering away their lives, and eventually numbers will tell. But now they're going to have to pull out. So Ukraine said they're not going to play Russia's game and fight this attritional war in which Russia's got a major advantage, up to a 4-to-1 advantage. In not just troops, but also artillery shells and things like that. But here, because of war of maneuver, Ukraine has advantage, and they're better at all arms cooperations in between infantry, armor, artillery, the air force, drones these days. Is there anything else I missed out? And that's why they've been able to move forward very rapidly. So yeah, and that will slow the Russian offensive. What else? It might force them to withdraw entirely from bits of Ukraine if they're threatened with envelopment. And so it's a big morale booster for the Ukrainians. Obviously, that can't be underestimated. Remember Napoleon thinking that morale was several times more important than physical factors, as in the number of troops you have, how good the firearms are, the amount of munitions, the amount of rations they have, and so forth. So do they intend to hold this long term? They're saying no. Well, I generally think they don't want this as post-victory. They might want to hold on until the end of the war and do a land swap. You want your land back? We got to have our land back. And it was a Ukrainian politician who said Putin claimed that international borders here don't matter. Well, for the first time he does, because he doesn't like it when his homeland is invaded. So giving a taste of his own medicine, which is obviously entirely permissible. in war, whenever countries have been able to, if they've been invaded, yeah, they counterattack and invade the other country. And this was never ever going to happen. No Ukraine ever suggested doing this until Putin began his illegal war of unprovoked aggression. So I think they're going to stay and stay for a while, months, maybe years, probably not the whole lot. They could have gone further and faster, but then their supply lines would be overstretched. There'd be too much of a danger. They'd be encircled. But look how slow the Russian response has been. For a few days, they said, we've contained this, and they haven't got it, and it's spread and spread. But the surprising thing to me is how far east the Ukrainians have gone and not turned south. The place of not great strategic importance, and they've not been blowing up, you know, tunnels and bridges to prevent Russians coming in there in future or supplying forces. So it's really caught the Russians off balance, and the Russians are going to think about defense rather than attack for a while. So the Russia's summer offensive has been a bit of a damp squib, maybe even more of a failure than the Ukrainians was last year, and a much costlier failure in terms of manpower. And Putin is always there drafting people all the time. They say like sort of 30,000 a month quite easily. But they might have to step that out and broaden the parameters, notably fathers of three or more children are no longer exempt. It might be fathers of four or more children will no longer be exempt. People previously classified as unfit for military service may be reclassified as fit for military service, even if they're not. They say badly wounded men are pushed in to the front line again, you know, just to stop a bullet in furtherance of Putin's megalomaniac ambitions. So, yes, definitely good news for Ukraine. But it is a big gamble, because if they're cut off, if they're forced to surrender, Ukraine loses some of their elite units and some of their best equipment. But that shows they're quite committed to it. And obviously, wars cannot be fought through caution. You sometimes have to take a calculated risk, and this is one. So, yeah, what were the possibilities? Was it just to destroy enemy forces? They've not destroyed that many, partly because there aren't very many, but they have taken prisoners they can trade to liberate Ukrainians. Was it to envelop the Russians? And they've not really particularly been trying to do this. Was this to compel Russia to withdraw forces from Ukraine? It seems to me that's probably the main objective. And there's only been a bit of that. Putin's very reluctant to do that, to give up his good position. But withdrawing forces doesn't necessarily mean retreating, because obviously you need far fewer troops to hold a position than you do to attack. Was it just to demoralize the Russians and make them realize that Putin's losing? And that's partly working as well. One of the surprising things is that the Russian media has reported it, has been largely honest on this one. I think we just lie and say, oh, there is no Ukrainian incursion. It's a provocation. It's enemy propaganda. It's just typical Kiev mendacity. Or indeed acknowledge it, but severely downplay it. No, they haven't taken 1,000 square kilometers as 100 square kilometers, something like that. So they've been uncharacteristically truthful. But we mustn't exaggerate the scale of this. There's said to be about 2,000 Ukrainian troops there, only 10 tanks, some armored personnel carriers. There are estimates as high as 6,000 Ukrainian troops. 1,000 square kilometers in a country of, what is it? Is it 18 million square kilometers? That is not even a drop in the ocean. Okay, and this is on the front line. You know, eastern Siberia doesn't matter in terms of Ukraine. So the casualties inflicted are not enormous. So Russia can contain this, but only at the cost of severely weakening its offensive in Ukraine. So for Russia to bring in troops, contain it, push the Ukrainians out, that's going to take a fortnight at least, I would think. And then the Russians could resume their summer offensive. We have to send people back into Lugansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia, take a few more weeks, and they're notoriously slow and inefficient. So really, they would have lost at least a month, maybe more like 2 months of offensive. The pressure will really slacken. And by then, you know, we're getting into October when it's cooling down. And though the offensive can go on 12 months a year, they tend to make very little ground in the winter just because of the severe weather conditions. But Ukraine notably hasn't risked its F-16s. One thing is they don't have their own air force, so they don't have air cover. Obviously, they brought their air defense with them. And Russia, again, has failed to use that, is on home turf, and they're overly cautious. And that's one of the lessons for the Ukrainians. Putin does not care about the lives of his troops, but he does care about his precious air force. So, and obviously, Ukrainians have made some efforts to destroy these planes on the ground and sometimes succeeded. You should really hit him there. That's where it hurts. That's where he might say, I'm losing too many of these planes, which obviously several million dollars a pop, even for the cheapest one. And they might say, okay, ouch, this hurts too much. and he'll super peace. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. So make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal. Goodbye.